Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The Trump administration has taken the Biden CBP app and has now basically rebranded it as the SIA app. You can self-deport on the CBP app. So for all of our illegal immigrants that are listeners of the show, I just gave you the quick way as to you can get the hell out of here before Tom Homan and ICE track you down. Also, Tom Homan obliterating Jasmine Crockett. We'll get to that story. And if we have time, I certainly want to get to this story with China. And we look at our education in this country versus China. Where do you hear what they are doing for students over in Xi Jinping's country? I don't really disagree with this, even though I'm not keen on the subject. I'm a little leery of it and what it can do to society, but we'll talk about that as well. But let's get to some of the news. Round number two at 7:07, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live, 7 a.m. edition. We are sponsored on this Tuesday morning, March 11th, sponsored by First Bank. So when we talk about our city's, really the city's biggest employer, of Philadelphia. This is the University of Pennsylvania. They've ordered a hiring freeze and other situations to buckle up, basically, and brace for what is to come for the impact of potential federal funding cuts under the current administration. That's one of the headlines this morning, a belt tightening, if you will, at our city's largest employer. And these changes, we're told, are effective immediately and until further notice. Hiring freeze, University of Pennsylvania. And that's just one of 60 universities that we're hearing about as the ongoing investigations happen into this anti-Semitic activity, the allegations against them. So these universities include Temple, Drexel, Rutgers, Swarthmore, Harvard, Princeton, Brown, Columbia, Yale, Lehigh, and Lafayette, and Muhlenberg College, just to name some of those 60. So President Donald Trump, and he has said zero tolerance, but he really has pursued all of these claims, lawsuits, talking about anti-Semitism at the level of higher education, as well as, you know, we've talked about the one of at least one lawsuit in Bucks County, and that's in at the public school level, mm-hmm. at the middle school and high school level. But last week we reported to you $400 million in federal grants and contracts were cut, chopped. And that was at Columbia due to the, quote, due to the school's continued inaction to protect Jewish students from discrimination. And that was following, as we talked a lot about,
yeah.
on Friday, those Thursday into Friday,
yeah.
what was going on there with the protesters breaking into the school's library, mm-hmm. refusing to leave. At least one police officer was injured during that.
I guess I shouldn't say I couldn't believe it, but I was a little surprised to see Lafayette College, which is in Easton. I mean, I grew up 5 minutes from there. Lehigh University, if you don't know it, it's in Bethlehem, right off of Route 78. My in-laws are 5 minutes from there. Muhlenberg College in Allentown. I mean, and these are...
And Temple. You're
and,
an alum
and Temple,
of,
yeah.
Temple, Drexel, yeah. Rutgers, UPenn. I mean...
Public these, and private.
You know, truthfully, all the colleges that we're naming are famous not just to us mm-hmm. in our area,
yeah,
but as well across the nation.
Linda McMahon said, the department is deeply disappointed that Jewish students studying on elite U.S. campuses continue to fear for their safety amid the relentless anti-Semitic eruptions that have severely disrupted campus life for more than a year. University leaders must do better. And it's sad that they, and I saw yesterday the adult that was supposed to be deported, that's actually now being held up in a court. So he's been, you know, I guess apprehended, removed from Columbia, and he's got ties to, you know, something over in the Middle East. But I'm so sick of hearing about these stories.
Mm-hmm.
How these leaders allow this and don't know the difference between protected speech versus dealing with, you know, these threats and these civil rights. Yeah. It's staggering to me. And who are they trying to appease? Do they think people are going to unenlist or de-enroll from the school? Some of these people don't even actually belong to the university as students.
But in this case, the student that, and we reported this last week, the student who was on a student visa and who had had a police record with other protests, was arrested, and they said that they were pulling the visa last week. To me, I just, you know, I look at that and I think, wow, you know, these are elite universities, American universities. So you have to ask yourself, how long has this been going on?
Mm-hmm.
Where these individuals from foreign countries who have these other, you know, interests, let's just say, this kid is accused of anti-Semitic violent behavior. It's, and I say kid like you did.
I was just going to say he's not a kid.
He's in his 20s.
Yeah, he graduated and he's still like
in his
mid
20s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but my question is, why are these individuals?
He's like Van Wilder.
I know.
Yeah. Why
Some
are these individuals taking
academics.
The place of
yeah.
other American
yeah.
students?
Get
you
off,
know what I mean?
Get off campus and join the real world. College campuses are not real life for all these professionals that stay there forever and never leave the world of academia.
Yeah, the amount of money that has been being funneled into these places is just is unbelievable to me.
Yep.
It really is.
And it's not protected. Under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, institutions of higher education are restricted from receiving federal funds, which is why the Trump administration can yank the funding if they participate in or allow discrimination, which Jews are dealing with, based on race, national origin, or other characteristics. Mm-hmm. This is not protected free speech.
And that line that Nick just read, that is in the actual letter that went out to from the Education Department under the Trump administration. This letter went out locally to all these local universities that we've mentioned, but 60 colleges and universities across the country receiving these letters, and they're specifically talking about Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, mm-hmm. that they're saying they're using that. That's in the letter. And so locally, these universities are buckling up, if you will, because they know that cuts are to come. So they have hiring freezes.
Trade school sounds like a great idea these days, doesn't it?
Well, I feel for people, you know, and by the way, UPenn, you know, when you think about that, that was Governor Shapiro, who is Jewish, as we know, was somebody who early on, you know, talked about this. This is not acceptable. And so you think about from the aspect of you're a kid who you're born and raised as an American, and these foreign students from Middle Eastern countries are allowed to come here and frighten you, mm-hmm. and you're holed up somewhere
yeah.
in the universe. I mean, just try to wrap your brain around that.
Right.
But that's what the past administration was allowing.
How is Shapiro, since he obviously has aspirations for 2028, how is he not doing a Philadelphia/Lehigh Valley anti-Semitism university tour?
Well, he did speak out about this. I mean, he did speak out about this in Pennsylvania, and so I think that's part of the reason that we haven't had it like at UPenn yet, mm-hmm. or in our area
right.
as much as we saw. Look at Columbia just last week. And remember Tony Bruno was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And there was that one was in California.
Oh, yeah.
And
it was happening overnight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so the wee hours of the morning, and they were like demasking
yep.
these people. And
yep.
But this continues on other places, not us here locally.
Yep.
Jeez Louise.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking about that. We were talking about locally. These and we don't know who these individuals are in a red vehicle locally here, and this was in Montgomery County, spray painting swastikas, other vulgar nasty words on middle school and a grade school. So pretty disgusting. Upper Moreland police are working on that one, so we've been talking about that. And just a Doge update for you real quick here, is because you were talking about this, because we do have a court ruling, and this is one of the most significant court rulings I've seen. We have tons of court rulings across the country at the state level, at the federal level, dealing with Doge. This is a federal judge ruling just yesterday afternoon that the Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency, the judge said, is wielding so much power that its records must be open to the public under federal U.S. law. It's U.S. District Judge Christopher Cooper, and he's widely making the ruling because of news reports. That's what he's basing the ruling on, which I have to say I get a kick out of that when it kind of tells me how this judge is going.
Mm-hmm.
But the judge wrote, and it's a 37-page opinion, unusual secrecy. he says that he's ruling an urgent release, kind of rolling releases ASAP of internal documents under these Freedom of Information Acts, which I'll point out to you, you know, locally, you know, like moms like like Meg Brock and Beth Ann Rossica, they were filing under Freedom of Information during the pandemic shutdowns.
Yeah.
But nobody really, I guess they need the news to be complicit.
Is the Doge website, doge.gov, or the Doge social media feed not enough transparent? I mean, what do they want, the actual pages?
They want the internal documents because the Trump administration has repeatedly come out and said Elon Musk, because remember his official title, he's a special employee.
Yeah.
And so under that, he's an advisor to the president.
Well, we all.
So they want the internal documents.
Oh, we all want the internal documents on the Epstein files, but we don't get what we want in this lifetime, right? By the way, this is the greatest tweet I've seen all week. Some guy on Twitter, I don't even know who this guy is, says Pam Bondi's list of five things that she accomplished last week, mocking the Elon Musk five things email. Number one. Appeared on Hannity. Number two, appeared on Maria Bartiromo. Number three, appeared on Hannity. Number four, appeared on Laura Ingraham. Number five, appeared on Jesse Waters.
Yeah.
I mean,
these guys are getting nice. These people are getting nice, hefty government salaries to become TV pundits.
It's unbelievable.
That's all I'm saying.
Boy, Pam Bondi. A lot, even in my mentions, Pam Bondi. Apparently, now Rudy says that Zeoli has dubbed Pam Bondi the new binder. A.K.A. Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Wow.
Zeoli. I like that. It's a hot take. I like that.
Which blonde binder do you prefer?
The Bondi binder.
The blonde Bondi
binder. Wow, you start getting labeled the binder, you know you offer zilch.
This cracks me up.
Nice work, Rich.
Well, we are sponsored this morning. There's so much going on. We're sponsored this morning by First Bank. Ready to drive your business's success with a trusted local partner? You can count on First Bank for that personalized support and smart solutions to help your business grow. First Bank, your trusted local partner for success. Visit myfirstbank.com to learn more. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Enjoy today's forecast, nearly 69 degrees, beautiful sunny skies today. First Bank, thank you for sponsoring us.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. Mark is in Feasterville. He's up next on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Mark.
How you doing?
Hey.
First of all, I think Elon Musk is acting like an elitist with that chainsaw. Like thousands of Americans lost their jobs. And I wouldn't feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And how come there's no outrage with the 11,000 steam fitters that were laid off the first day of Biden's administration?
It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me where you work in the federal government. And it doesn't matter to me who the president is. It doesn't make you untouchable because you work for a government job. It's not a partisan issue. It don't matter to me if it's a Republican doing it or a Democrat doing it. Or somebody that's been working for the federal government for 9 weeks on a probationary period or for 22 years. Nobody's guaranteed anything in this lifetime. Why is a federal job untouchable?
Well, but Mark had a good point about because Biden day one, you know, wanted to make the point with his executive orders.
Yeah.
And nobody talked about it as much, you know, canceling the Keystone Pipeline. But also that was 11,000 jobs in the first day.
Yeah.
Where
sucks.
Think about it, though. 11,000. Nobody, you didn't see the media hyperventilating. You didn't see all the court rulings.
Mm-hmm.
And to his point, you know, those were union jobs.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, in this one, as far as the Keystone Pipeline, I don't know. Do you say that it's all political? Biden wanted to go over the Keystone Pipeline and those jobs. In this one, is it political? You know, I really think the DOGE situation, the Department of Government Efficiency, is because we do have a problem here. To Greg's point yesterday, and Nick, you were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have this budget that.
Well, this was a mandate. This was a mandate that the American people wanted. And, you know, is Elon and Doge, are they going at faster? Well, I also love this conversation. I'm not necessarily against Doge, but I think they're going too quick. I don't like necessarily. Of course, you're not going to love everything about it. But this actually should not be a partisan issue when we talk about the end game result here. The end game result is to balance the budget, get us $1 to $2 trillion out of debt, and get rid of inflation. The last time I checked, if inflation goes down and prices become, everything becomes more affordable, that benefits all of us, right? I mean, if my eggs are now once again $2.89 a dozen, it don't matter if I'm a Democrat or a Republican, my eggs are cheaper. I should be happier if I'm an egg consumer. I look at it that way, but I, for some reason, it's always, you know, left versus right, so.
I thought of you the other day. I almost recorded these women. I was at the store, and they sounded like Nick Cale talking about the eggs and how much they paid, and they were going from store to store. And I was like, I almost like secretly recorded them on my phone. But this is the eggs or the gas, which has come down. Because it's something immediate. It's in your face.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know it right away. 855-839-1210. Cut sheet in just over 20 minutes. But on the other side, let's take a look at some education in America compared to what our counterparts are doing way around the other side of the globe when it pertains to the Utes and AI. We're back after this here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You've heard me talk about replacing my windows and doors with Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding for, what, nearly a decade now. If you're thinking about redoing your site, I had this dream. Did I tell you this? I had this dream the other day. I forgot to tell you guys that when we went to Italy, Chapman came and they redid, like, the whole thing, the roof, the siding, the windows. It was a really wonderful dream. But if you're thinking about redoing your siding right now, it's the perfect time. If you notice any wear and tear, molding, buckling, or any peeling, that indicates that your home is actually being exposed to the elements. And many people don't realize siding is not just for the curb appeal. It also acts as that protective barrier against the harsh weather of all seasons and protects probably what is your most important investment. So whether you want the fiber cement siding or the vinyl siding, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they carry only the best brands, including the James Hardy and the CertainTeed. Right. And these are beautiful choices as well. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding also, they go the extra mile. They're going to work with you just like they have done with me on the different styles and options that best fits your home. And they complete every single project with such care, such precision, but also such professionalism. Everything is up front. Everything's in writing. You know, everything that's going to happen, you can picture it. I love that. Experience the Chapman difference today. Call or text them, 610-431-8898, 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Go online and look at the before and afters. I think some of the jobs they've done in my home are online as well. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Please tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Cut sheet coming up in just about 15 minutes. Sean Farish, Alex Byron, a.k.a. Donald Trump, and Elon Musk will join us in about an hour and a half, coming up at 9 o'clock. I thought this was interesting on the education front. And anytime there's stories when it pertains to schools, I'm always fascinated by this because I've got two 10-year-old twin daughters in fifth grade, which, by the way, I don't know when this actually became a thing. A little sidebar here. Did you know that in the, I guess it would just be, I'm assuming the Wissahickon School District, but maybe it's elsewhere as well. Maybe it's a statewide thing. You know, they don't give out letter grades for fifth graders. They have meeting standards, exceeding expected, and all this
really? Fugazi
stuff. That's whatever happened to a good old B+?
Or an F, in my case.
Where do the C-minuses go?
It's ridiculous.
It's very weak.
Yeah.
We had a parent-teacher thing, and that was back
common?
In the fall. I don't know, is it?
It is. It depends on the school, but
okay.
For the grade schools, it's pretty common.
Okay. I was wondering if it was public versus private, if it was statewide, district by district.
No. Wissahickon is a good school district.
I know.
I have a lot of... Yeah. I mean, I know you guys researched it.
Yeah, my girls are doing fine, so I'm not worried about it, but they were like, is either below, meeting, or exceeding.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the year, they give them a final evaluation.
Say, Nick Cale should go into the superintendent or whatever and say, hey, I'm paying for A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else is like, I'm paying this.
Yeah.
Seriously.
What's a dad got to do to get an 88 on a card? Huh? Where's the red marker with the C and then they circle it like
that's lame. I do not like that.
That was a total sidebar. Yeah. But this is interesting. So I've got two different things here. One that I found, Stocker, you found this other one. I'm going to compare America to China here. Let me just start quickly. Forbes has the 50 states ranked from best to worst in a variety of categories, and those categories go from crime, the economy, education, fiscal stability, healthcare, infrastructure, opportunity, natural environment. But I want to just focus in on, I was going to do economy and education, but for the sake of time constraints, let's just do education. Florida was leading the way in both education and economy, but they came in at number 9 overall. They were 13th in crime and some other categories. Now, New Jersey actually is actually doing a nice job in education. Mm-hmm. They come in 4th in education, 14th overall when you factor in economy, crime, and all the other categories. Delaware is 33rd in education, 21st overall. And New York is 12th in education, 23rd overall.
And who rated this, Nick?
This is Forbes. My old state of Tennessee is 31st in education, 27th overall, and little old Pennsylvania, 39th in education,
bad.
40th overall,
gross.
And 41st with the economy. We're actually okay in crime. We're 16th overall, thanks to Philadelphia for getting us to 16th.
Just curious, and I hope I'm not catching a cold.
No.
What are the top five states?
Top five overall is Utah, New Hampshire, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Idaho. Crime, the best state is New Hampshire. Economy and education, Florida's the best. Wyoming for fiscal stability. Healthcare, Hawaii. Infrastructure, North Dakota. Natural environment, Hawaii. And opportunity, Vermont. So Pennsylvania is pretty bad. We're 40th or so out of, 50 states? That's not good. We're in the bottom 20%.
And one more time, where's Jersey?
Jersey was actually fourth in education.
Which usually, Jersey and Connecticut are usually number 1 and 2.
Connecticut number, right? Connecticut number 8 for education.
So New Jersey,
that's a drop for Jersey and Connecticut.
It's fourth, huh? Wow.
Yeah. But again, it's Forbes. Who knows? These things could vary by however these people analyze all this crap. So that's that. And then you found this on China, as the capital city of Beijing is going to be making AI education mandatory, even for elementary school students. Starting this fall, I guess that would be the 2025 school year, fall 25 into 26, schools in Beijing must provide at least 8 hours of AI instruction. AI education will be mandatory for students from elementary school through high school, and the move comes as China powers ahead in the AI race. This story is from Yahoo. And they go on to talk about the plan. Under the new plan, school kids ages 6 to 12 would take hands-on courses to kickstart their understanding of AI. Then in middle school, they would learn how to apply AI to schoolwork and daily life, while high schoolers would focus on strengthening AI applications and innovation, according to the report. So, and there's some other details that we can get into here. So in China, they're doing AI. I've also seen the story and the video of they're teaching young children how to load a firearm at their school desk. And we're telling our kids about critical race theory, 14 genders, and having teachers go through pronouns on whiteboards and then rehash their day on TikTok while they might cry and break down spontaneously.
I found this story interesting because I know Dawn Stenson always talks about how this is an AI race. And our main goal, our one and only job as America is to outrun China with the AI thing. And I find it interesting that China's like, nope, we're going to have AI learning mandatory in school as starting as elementary school. Like they're just light years ahead of us on this.
You know, it's just remarkable. I mean, they're so evil on so many fronts with what they do to, you know, certain populations with concentration camps. They're a communist nation. I believe they're involved in the COVID cover-up. But then they do things like this, and you're like, man, you talk about just saying, you know what, we're going to make sure that our children are positioning themselves to succeed in real life. Meanwhile, I've got this other story from, I forget where I saw this, but did you know that 40% of two-year-olds in America now have their own tablet? Oh. And oh, by the way, that's not to use for AI and, you know, be doing educational things. It's because they can sit there and scroll through YouTube videos of shows and watch other people living their life on YouTube and be zombies. So mom and dad get 90 minutes to do whatever they need to do to catch a break. And they think the tablet is the new babysitter.
Well, to be fair, though, I'm sure if you go to China, I'm sure the babies there are using tablets, but they're not doing it to watch
What's
YouTube videos.
Right.
They're doing it for, like, you know, calculus equations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not watching Hannah Montana's last concert.
Hannah Montana's not
whoever.
She's Miley Cyrus, and she's about 30 now.
Yeah, that too.
But no,
she might be 40.
Our kids are going to be. Our kids are going to get blown out in the game of life by Asian students, and they already are. I mean, you see how many Asian students. We talked about this. How they were denied admission to a lot of the Ivy League institutions when they have 1580s on their SATs, 4.5 GPAs. Asian kids work their ass off, and they're very, very bright. And I think we're raising a generation of victimhood culture, not self-dependent, application and smartphone zombies.
I would agree with you on that, you know, because I've become old man that yells at cloud. But I will say this, that we were always, every generation you could say, was behind China as far as anything goes. And they always looked at us like, you know, like Gen X. You know, we're the epitome of the slacker generation. You know what I mean? Like, think about everybody who talked about, you know, my parents and their parents who talked about us growing up. Like, these slackers with their long hair and they don't know what they're doing. You know, they just coast through life and everything's cool, bro. Everything's cool, dude. Like, our parents and grandparents said the same thing about my generation.
But you and Dawn are both Gen Xers. And I just missed the cutoff by 2 years. But Gen Xers... Yeah, you had, especially the younger Gen Xers, like Stalker, you had MTV. But there was less distractions. You can't...
I don't know if there were, dude.
Really?
I don't know if there were. I mean, everybody looked at us...
TV in a mall.
Everybody looked at us and...
In a spray can.
Again, yes, I'm late Gen X, so, you know, Beavis and Butthead and that stuff, Headbangers Ball, that was big when I was growing up, and everybody looked at us like, look at... They're a bunch of stoners, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing, it's just times have changed.
But I tell my kids, I don't know, Dawn, if you... And Greg, you haven't had to say this yet, because your kids, you know, probably focused on all the fun stuff of being a four-year-old. I mean, my daughters at times will come down the steps and say, Daddy, I'm bored. And I'm saying, it's 2025. You have more distractions and entertainment options than any generation in the history of civilization. It is impossible to be bored. It really is. With all the apps, with all the smartphone devices, YouTube, Netflix, Peacock, Snapchat, FaceTime, how are you bored? It's not possible. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Now, granted, life sucks when you don't have money and you can't do things, so I understand from that perspective, but don't tell me you're bored.
But I think that, to your point about the tablets and all of that, that kids are so used to, and even in schools now, they know the time span because of commercials, the tablets, the shows, that even in education, they're starting to change the way that they teach kids because of their attention. What?
Peter M says, Nick, your kids are asking for your attention.
Aww. <It's- laughs>
Go away. Daddy's watching football.
Sorry, Dawn.
No, that's cute. I love it. No, but so I think that it's an attention span issue, and it's that they want to be entertained.
Well, they have no attention span.
Right.
They can't wait to hit the skip ad button on the YouTube video because they can't sit through a 10-second commercial.
Think about that.
Right.
So then, and also listening, your ability to listen. So all of that is generational.
Yeah. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, how do we save the youths of today? China's going to steamroll us if they haven't already.
Well, one of the things that you said that caught my ear, and I was looking it up when we were chatting, was that China, not only with AI, but military-civil fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, why don't I know more about this? But fusion energy and the fusion energy research, in other words, non-civilian uses. But the scary piece of this is looking for the weapons of the future, so that if you have children who are very young and they're learning all of this and learning the right math and the skill sets, then they can, then militarily, it helps you. And that was one thing that Trump had said early on in this administration, was that this is a national security issue. The fact that our schools suck, that our kids are so distracted, this is a national security issue. And
especially
that's why,
with the money we spend,
right?
On a per capita, per student basis, it's a joke.
So
what did you say in Pennsylvania? It's $22,000 a year?
Yes.
And we're 40th.
Yeah. And we've had people, like, I haven't had Todd Shepard on in a while, but there are investigators who say, don't believe when they say, oh, we spend, you know, $6,000 to $8,000 of these. When you look at the whole package of the money, it might be more than $22,000 per student. And that's why
outrageous.
They're saying, in other words, look at the private schools, what they can spend. Yep. So we should doge that situation with vouchers.
Yeah, I agree. Doge everything and doge everybody.
Yeah.
855-839-1210. What's on the cut sheet? Well, we will all find out together on the other side. But first, it's time to let people know about Piazza Auto Group, and specifically Mercedes-Benz. That's right, the extensive selection at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. That's right, three locations, combines luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. Something for everybody in the Mercedes-Benz family, from the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of that 2025 GLE SUV, which I recently test drove. You will find a luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz, or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City at PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Don't forget the word premium. It's PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. And tell them Nick sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I kind of like Valdez in some regards.
Yeah.
He's got Daniel. He's got big stones. He does. He'll look you right in the face. He don't care who you are. Tell you to go F yourself like he's Elon Musk.
It's true.
Go yourself.
He does have that. He does have that attitude where it's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Even as we knew him when he was, he was a college kid.
Yeah.
He had the chutzpah.
The chutzpah. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's get down to it. It's a Tuesday edition. I think it's soccer's favorite day of the week. It's time for What's on the Cut Sheet.
Friday.
Of course.
The Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet on Tuesday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, you hear a squeal or grinding noise. Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, Alex Byron and Sean Farish, a.k.a. Donald Trump and Elon Musk, will join us. I guess you're going to play the part of Sean Hannity?
Yeah, I'm going to be Han Sanity. Sometimes I go Toe Rogan, Fake Strapper. Yep. I'll be Han Sanity today.
Han Sanity interviewed RFK Jr. last night in a Shake Shack.
No. Yeah, they've changed the oils, haven't they?
Yeah.
I would assume that's why they're there.
So this is we talk. It was actually a really good interview. I give it to Hannity. I like the idea of doing Shake Shack. I think that's a good prop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good backdrop.
Sure.
All right, roll 22.
Really appreciate it. Before you got here, I already had a burger, so I'm having another. I'm breaking my diet.
No,
I am.
Nobody cares what you ate.
Pretty much full on keto. I eat basically meat and eggs. I made an exception today. I had it on a bun, and I really enjoyed it, actually. And it was really good. Explain the difference between seed oil and tallow and why this is a big deal. Why they said we are going to RFK Steak and Shake.
Beef tallow.
Processed foods and seed oil is one of the components of processed foods. And that is, all the science indicates that ultra-processed foods are what are the principal culprit in this extraordinary explosion, the epidemic we have of chronic disease. When my uncle was president, 3% of Americans had chronic disease. Today, 60% do. We have 66% of adults are diabetic or pre-diabetic, 38% of teens. When you and I were kids, Sean, the average pediatrician would see one case of juvenile diabetes in his lifetime over a 40 or 50 year career. Today, one out of every three kids who walks through his office door is diabetic or pre-diabetic. Diabetes and other mitochondrial diseases are now costing America more than our military budget. We spend two to three times on health care what other countries do, and we have the worst outcomes. And it's not, and we have the best medical system in the world. We are poisoning ourselves. And it's coming from, you know, principally these ultra-processed foods. And what we're trying to do, and this President Trump wants us to have radical transparency and to incentivize companies like this one to switch to traditional ingredients like beef tallow.
Oh, by the way, here you go.
Here comes the food drop.
Here's this. Take the red bag. It is. I'll take those trays back for you.
Oh, okay. Is that...
this is you, Sean.
Oh, this is me? Okay, thank
you. So Sean's eating twice today.
Yeah, sorry. That was steak and shake, not
yes.
Shake Shack.
Yeah, I like them both, by the way. Ainsley's got them on that keto diet. She's like, if you're going to keep me, you're going to eat healthy.
He's losing weight for the wedding.
Yes, he is. Got to fit in that tux. You know... I don't know. Do we know for sure that Steak and Shake, did they definitely do this to get the initiative that the Bobby Kennedy, MAHA, Trump administration have said that they would incentivize? And I also would like to know, what is the incentive? Do these businesses receive a tax break for using healthier but more expensive products? I'm assuming, I don't know really much about beef tallow, I'm assuming that costs the supplier, like the restaurant, probably more money than using a seed oil.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. By the way, are you cognizant of which oils, if you eat French fries, are you guys like allergic to peanut oil? My wife's in-laws always have to let people know that they do not use peanut oil when they use their fryers, because a lot of people have an allergy to peanut.
My dad does, like a really bad allergy to it.
Yeah.
Like, he can die.
Okay.
So. And that's why it's always funny to me. That's why it's always funny to me when, like, peanut allergies were not a thing when we were growing up. No, they were. My dad had it in the 60s. So, mm-hmm. like, it's been a thing. I don't know if it's as widespread, if it was as widespread then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's always been a thing.
I mean, it really is alarming when you hear those stats from Kennedy about how, well, if you're a doctor, if you were a pediatrician, you see one juvenile diabetes case in your lifetime, and now it's standard, it's routine, sadly. And Dawn, I know you can talk to that. And then all of these other stats with obesity. I mean, humans didn't just all of a sudden become less healthy naturally and devolve as a species. It's because, let's face it, it comes down to what you put in your system. If you treat your body like a temple, odds are, unless you have really bad genes, you're going to extend your life. And if you're a slob, you're going to shorten your life.
The problem is that the dietary guidelines change every 3 months. It's like, this is bad for you. Stop eating this.
Yeah, and studies show this is good if you do it in
this. This is good for you. Eat this.
Yeah.
Then they're like, oh, yeah, remember what we said not to eat that? You can eat that. Don't eat what we told you to eat. It just changes all the time.
Well, I told you the one time I was told that a doctor told me too much water can be a bad thing. And then I read a study that actually 1 to 2 cocktails a day can be a good thing. So that's when I officially gave up on losing my mind over it. Just try to exercise, eat relatively clean, consume everything in moderation.
Well, here's the...
And you should be okay.
Here's the thing. It is that, you know, you mentioned cocktails. Yeah. Alcohol is poison.
Right.
Like, it is.
But there's this, just, like, the wine studies, like, one glass is good for your heart.
It's not. Just listen. Alcohol is poison. It just depends. It's up to you how much poison you put in your body. That's it.
Yep.
It's that simple. No study is going to say, well, a glass of red wine a day, that's BS.
You think that's BS?
100%
is BS. I mean, those are coming from, like, research facilities.
No, it's
not a Daily Mail exclusive.
Alcohol is poison. It just depends on how much poison you put in your body every day.
Well, but then there's also the studies with red meat. Do you subscribe to those that some red meat is not as bad as they initially claim?
I do not think red meat is as bad as they claim. I don't think you should eat it every day.
Right.
Like, I know the big thing now is the carnivore diet, where it's basically, you know, you just eat steak, like literally just steak.
Yeah.
And then
you get the meat sweats.
And then, you know, I don't think that is healthy. But I subscribe to, like, just eat real foods. You know what I mean? Like, real food. That's it.
Right.
But part of it is we don't even know So I know that, I'll just give you an example. Certain industries, like the poultry industry, we've seen that they have made it strict that they're not allowed to use certain hormones on any of the chicken or poultry. Yep. But it's not quite as strict with other things like beef.
Yep.
With what they can, you know, give the animals or treat, etc. And then the other issue, I think the seed oil issue is interesting to me because you don't think about that. And so what something is cooked in or fried in, yes, it all makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the fluoride. He talks about the water. I mean, all this stuff that nobody really thinks about, but it's all in your food.
Yeah.
So I think that if we're asking these questions, if we become well-educated consumers, and then maybe you don't patronize certain restaurants because you say, well, the reason they're cheaper is, you know, that they've cut corners,
mm-hmm.
and they're cooking stuff in cheap, nasty, you know, oils that I don't want to be exposed to.
Speaking of that, do you use avocado oil at all when you cooked on?
No.
No. Avocado oil is not good for you, dude.
No.
No.
It's not. Just use plain olive oil.
That's
olive
what I
oil
use.
Is olive oil.
Yeah,
is,
I don't buy avocado oil because it's too expensive.
It's actually really good. You know what? You should subscribe to. Look at the diets from places of countries. Yes,
yeah.
That live Italy. that have a lifespan a long time.
Greece, you know,
Japan. Japan has a huge, and they eat a lot of raw fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you may not like raw fish, but like they eat a lot of raw fish.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, look to those countries as a, hey, what are they doing over there? What are they eating?
I try to do sushi. I try to do sushi once a week.
Yeah, I probably do it twice a week.
That's delicious.
Yeah, and when I say sushi, like I do the poke bowls.
So do I.
That's what we love, the poke bowl.
I do tuna. I do a tuna poke bowl.
Salmon.
Avocado.
Salmon,
jalapenos, some rice, seaweed, a couple of sauces, sriracha, and I do a wasabi mayo.
A little bit more from Hannity and RFK Jr., Mr. Brainworm.
There you go. Here's just take the red mask, and I'll take those trays back for you.
Oh, okay. Is that...
this is you, Sean.
Oh, this is me? Okay, thank you.
Secretary.
Bobby's like, I'm not really going to eat that.
Pause it for a second. Kudos to Hannity, finally realizing how to do TV after all these years. Like, this is good TV.
Yeah.
At a Shake Shack, hanging out, talking, having a burger with RFK Jr.
Yeah.
Like, kudos to Hannity for 30 years later realizing how to do TV.
It's his producers.
I know.
To bring us back full circle to Greg Stocker and the YouTube. I mean, it takes a producer.
This is more like a podcast. All right, I'm sorry. Roll it.
Thank you. You didn't forget my Coke, did you?
Huh? Get your Coke?
I got it. Miss Small with the little ice.
Okay.
But I'm not going to drink it all because he's going to yell at me.
Small, can I pause it? I got it. Yeah. Small Coke, little, like my mother-in-law ordering a cocktail at a restaurant. I go light on the ice. Don't give me all that cranberry. And can I get a separate shot of coconut Malibu rum on the side?
The worst.
Like, they're going to spit in you. These people with all their specific demands. Does anybody just order a number two and make it easy? I don't want to. Can I go lettuce on the side? I need an extra cup of ranch. You're at a Chick-fil-A. What is this?
Okay. You are correct, though, about how...
I'm embarrassed, but I'm the only person in my immediate family that can just order what's on the menu.
Somebody that I know, and I'm not going to... hopefully they're not listening. Somebody that I know orders wine,
okay?
And then asks for a separate glass of ice because they take a piece of ice throughout the dinner and put it into the... And then when the ice melts, they need another glass.
It's not red wine, is it? Please tell me it's not.
No.
Yeah, so they like their wine chilled? Yeah,
it's gross.
Yeah.
It's like, and no waiter, every time I've been out with them, no waiter has ever gotten it correct.
Yeah.
And they're always like, don't forget my ice.
And I might trigger the audience here. I don't think this is really this kind of audience, but I could trigger a few. Boxed wine, garbage.
Of course. I mean, nobody...
Boxed wine.
That's not triggering this audience.
Okay, never know. There's always somebody offended by something I
said. This is a fine wine audience.
Fine wine
or
some old
school. There are some summer wines that are in the, like, the different packaging that are not bad.
You like them?
They're
doable.
If
somebody offered it to you on a June night,
no, because I'm just like a red wine person. Red wine.
Yep,
but
me too.
The problem with Dawn's right. The problem with white wines and like summer wines like that is they're so sugary.
Yeah,
they're so sweet and sugary.
Yeah.
All right. Can you just back it up like 10 seconds, Phil? Just a little bit there. Thank you, buddy.
By the way, I just got the text from the wife. She's mad that I outed her for being a menu elitist. And she also says that the girls, she goes, you need to talk to them about their behavior and fighting in the morning. I'm done. I've been given the ultimatum. Today will be a rough day for me, folks. I think it's National Nap Day,
guys,
though. So.
You got to tell your girls, it's women's, you know, isn't it National Women's Month?
Yeah,
so,
it is.
So you tell them, like, come on, give mommy a break. You got to be good to your mother.
You got to be the father, Nick. You got to step in and be like, you have to side with your wife on this.
Give mommy a break. You know, she's by herself. You girls.
Lay down the law.
Got to help. Someday you'll be a mom, and then you're going to think back to this, and we get what we, you know, like, we reap what we sow. So, you know, like, if you want your daughters to be nice to you someday, you got to be nice to your mommy.
I'm going to have to text Tom Homan during the break. I need you to put the fear of God in these girls.
All right, folks, we'll keep going.
All right, gentlemen. Enjoy.
Thank you. You didn't pick up my coat, did you?
Get your coat.
Miss Small with the little ice. Okay. But I'm not going to drink it all because he's going to yell at me. I'm only kidding.
And Steak and Shake just switched out. Mm. And people are raving about these french fries. You taste them.
They're amazing. They really are.
When I was a kid, I traveled in Europe. Europe is great. Always had great food. The French fries were always a disappointment because we had the best French fries here. They had pancakes over there, and they just didn't taste right. Today, the best French fries in the world are in Europe. I order them every time I go to Belgium or France or any place else.
Just say the common man.
And the French fries here just don't taste right. And you taste these, it's a completely different experience, and the customers are raving about it. Other companies, Steak and Shake, has been great. We're very grateful for them, for RF King, the French fries. They turned me into a verb. But also Popeyes.
By the way, a plastic straw. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank God. I can't stand those paper straws.
Amen, hate Hannity.
You hate to see
first time I've ever agreed with you.
But Popeyes, Outback. Sweet Greens, Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, they've all made the switch, or they're in the transition of making the switch.
Wow.
We want to do everything that we can to incentivize these companies to be transparent, to switch over from ultra-processed food, and to be part of this movement to make America healthy again.
As Health and Human Services Secretary.
Okay.
All right, there you go. I would love to actually... I don't know if Steak and Shake are locally owned or if it's corporate, but with this, the fact that they're on board with Maha, I would love to actually have a food drop. And also, not just to stuff my face, but to actually taste the difference in peanut oil, vegetable oil versus the beef tallow.
Is there one around here? Does anybody know?
And I'm going to get this wrong, so somebody can correct me. There's either a Steak and Shake or a Shake Shack right next to the Plymouth Meeting Mall.
That's Shake Shack.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's not it, then.
Hang on. Okay. I'm looking at locations.
I always get the two confused. I like them both. I think Shake Shack is a little more, I don't want to say bougie, but a little higher end than Steak and Shake, price-wise, I think, from what I gather.
I'm sure somebody on the YouTube chat will let me know.
The only time I've had Shake Shack was when I was in Manhattan. I had one. It was like $17 for a burger and fries, but it was good. But this was before any of them really started doing this switch. But actually, good to know. So Buffalo Wild Wings, what do you say, Outback Steakhouse?
Has anybody ever cooked with beef tallow?
No.
It's like beef fat.
No.
No?
But I'd be all for trying it.
So apparently that's what they're switching to from seed oils.
I'd love to see the nutrition side by side, just as to the difference in cooking your fries in.
Now, back in the day, like, my mom did this a little bit, but my grandmothers both did this, where they had a can, like, on the stove.
My dad had this, too. You talking about the bacon fat?
And it was more like bacon fat or beef fat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that they would keep the fat.
Well, because if you put the grease down the drain, it's bad anyway for your sink, right?
But I think the point is that, you know, this is, and part of this is, you know, the advertising and what we were told to have low fat.
Mm-hmm.
And there are books, I'm reading a book right now, Everything, All the Lies I Learned in Law, now Med School. I mean, there are all these great health books out there that talk about this, that back in the day when we used to cook with, like, real fats, even use small amounts of real butter, that it was healthier as opposed to all this manufactured stuff. Like, there was a period of use the spray stuff, use the, you know, margarine, whatever, but that's all manufactured stuff. and that when you have the fat, it takes longer for your body to break it down. Therefore, you're satiated,
mm-hmm.
so you're going to lose weight because you're not hungry all the time.
Yeah. I remember my old man. This was in the mid-90s, which is basically my whole lifetime. Everything's about the 90s, as it should be. Great decade. He was a Maxwell House coffee drinker. And he would buy the canister of Maxwell House coffee, you know, the old coffee filter and the whole bit. And then he'd keep the Maxwell House can, and he would store, like you're talking about, the grease and the fat from certain meats, and he would keep them in that can. So I'm having flashbacks now. I'm in my feelings.
Cut 18 here, Phil. So the Democrats have adapted a new strategy.
Stop talking?
No, they're going to talk more, and they're going to curse now.
Oh.
They're now the cursing party.
Okay, Roll up.
Somebody slap me and wake me the up, because I'm ready to get on with it.
If you could speak directly to Elon Musk, what would you say?
Off.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk and his hackers don't know about what it means to run a housing program.
To think that Elon Musk or Donald Trump give a about our public schools, Trump.
I don't swear in public very well, but we have to Trump.
There you go. As long as you're on the losing issue of every policy, 80-20, it's not going to matter if you start cursing until you start realizing that men shouldn't compete in women's sports, until you realize that you should protect the border, not be the party of war, and things like that. All of this is just sideshow theatrics, but it does play back into what we talked about yesterday in the big take with the Democrat Party, and they can't relate to the common man. And now I think we had that story that, Greg, you had about how the New York Times wrote an article about how they're going after sports radio listeners and those who listen to dude podcasts and play video games. I'm sorry, but you can do that all you want, but if you continue to demonize and try to demoralize straight men, It's not going to work. Not going to work at all.
Yesterday, a tornado hit the Fox 35 studio in Orlando while they were broadcasting. Did you guys see this?
No. Yeah.
Roll this.
And pull it out. Do you see that area where the rain? See that? That could be it, guys. Bring that camera up full. Okay. This is a live view from our TV station of what may be, at the very least, it's torrential rain crossing I-4 right now. We could be looking at a tornado on camera. Look at those trees blowing around. Okay. Bring the camera up, guys, if you can. Zoom out. Can you zoom out? This is a look at the live camera of a tornado.
Wow. Look at
that.
Which
could be passing by our station right now.
YouTube.com/1210 to be.
There's debris. We've got debris on. Okay. Take shelter. Everybody in the Fox 35 building, get to your safe space under your desk if you're not in a designated area. We're catching debris right now on the roof. Debris is on the roof right now.
I might die.
We're hearing it. You can see the debris flying there on the camera. This is a tornado. Seek shelter immediately. Get under your desks, guys. Anchors under the desks. Everybody get on the desks. Okay. That was it. We're still in debris zone. Everybody get in. Everybody get in the studio. Come on in, guys. Okay, we got power flickering out. That's a tornado.
I love that they kept rolling.
This is a confirmed
handling
tornado.
It pretty well.
Yeah.
All things
excellent
considered.
Job. Yeah.
This is a confirmed tornado. Right over the Lake Mary studios. This is heading into Lake Mary and Sanford right now. Get to the ground level, an interior room, away from the windows. This is a very serious situation. This is a real live tornado. It just hit our station. We saw debris flying. It's heading into Lake Mary, going right down Lake Mary Boulevard into Sanford. If you're watching from Winter Springs, if you're watching from Sanford, get below shelter. We're in a fortified room here. Can we swing the camera right? Is the camera still working?
My car, okay.
On our Lake Mary cam?
Oh, what a professional meteorologist.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
I've been doing this for a very long time. That's the first time a tornado has hit me while I'm doing the weather.
Nice job.
Doing this for our facilities here at Fox 35 to keep us on the air and keep you apprised of the situation.
He handled that better than Bill O'Reilly when the teleprompter went down. Wow.
Beautifully. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah. And he doesn't even have to predict the storm of the century to be a good meteorologist.
And Don, you've done ride-alongs for crime with police. Have you ever broadcast in a storm or did a report where Mother Nature was going nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But that one for, you know, he's a meteorologist and he's warning people, and especially for him to look at his tracker and say, you know, it's coming for you if you're in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an Emmy Award winning performance,
that is
in my
really
opinion.
Good. Yeah, I don't
good
disagree.
For, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm all over the place, but there's just so much good stuff that really doesn't tie together. So I'm just going to, we were going to get to this yesterday. This is Dr. Peter McCullough. He says that the new bird flu strain has lab origins. I teased this a lot yesterday. It's got three, Phil. Explain yourself, Lucy. Explain. Roll it.
That's okay. About what it is. Now, our research at McCullough Foundation, Nick Kulscher, the lead, this strain of bird flu is different. This looks like it has actually come from serial passage research done at the USDA Poultry Research Laboratory in Athens, Georgia.
Cool.
Serial passage is when there's a blend of viral strains that's intentionally put, in this case, in a mallard duck. They were trying to see which strain would pass to the next mallard duck. And the mallard ducks are studied because their gullet is where the virus attaches, but it doesn't go into the lungs. And indeed, they found clade 23446 that looked like it transmitted. And sure enough, that's where the first cases were around Athens, Georgia. Now, unique aspect to this clade is that it was very mild in the mallard ducks. They could spread it all over and other migratory waterfowl. It quickly spread into mammals. We're now up to about 40 different species of mammals.
Cool.
And so what, the USDA and other public health officials have done, you know, over the last several decades is what's called biosecurity. So biosecurity would be this idea that, well, if one chicken has bird flu, if we sterilize the whole farm, they won't get it again. Well, that doesn't work in this case because the mallard ducks will just continue to reinfect the farms. In fact, a guest on that clip you showed pointed that out. So immediately we think we should not do culling because of the fact we can't stop the reinfection with the mallard ducks. But this is how they do it. This is how they do it, Del. They will take samples of about 11 birds on different swabs, put it into the same test tube, and then do another 11, and then a different test tube, and then they send it off. Now, they throw the birds back into the coop or the bin, so they don't know which birds are tested. And so when one of the tubes turns positive, you never know which bird. The decision is to cull them, to kill them all. And when they extinguish all the birds by either pulling the oxygen out of the chambers or smothering them with foam, what happens is the whole facility has to be sterilized, disinfected, and our research shows that it's taken offline for 111 days.
Wow.
Good God almighty.
Were the drones doing biosecurity? Remember the drone research stuff?
Yeah, that's funny you say that. Yeah. Look, I'm not bright enough to understand if gain-of-function research is somewhat necessary, if it needs to be done in a certain setting, if we should get rid of it altogether. I'm sure there are, you know, medical people out there that are 100% opposed to it, but then I guess I don't know, how do you prepare for the next pandemic? This story from the Daily Mail, Robert Redfield is a guy I really like because he had the gumption and the stones to stand up to Fauci when everybody else basically wanted to bend a knee and say, you know what, only his opinion mattered. So he's the former CDC boss, and he reveals new evidence of a COVID cover-up and says that Fauci, quote, the father of the virus, concealed the Wuhan lab leak to protect United States spies that were embedded in China. In an exclusive interview, he said he now believes 100% that he is convinced that COVID-19 was the result of scientists becoming infected while carrying out high-risk experiments to boost the infectivity of bat viruses amid low biosecurity labs in the city of Wuhan. He also believes that Fauci worked with the heads of both the United States and UK research funding bodies to push a now debunked theory of natural transmission. It's never made sense to me that it jumped from a wet market, from a bat to humans. And now that you see more and more about this, it just becomes, to me, completely obvious that this was messing around with gain of function, got out of control, and they covered it up. I actually still, to this day, don't rule out the fact that it was released intentionally. But, I mean, anybody that thinks that this is natural is just a sheep.
You know, it's all a big coincidence that Trump came in and his first presidency, everything was going, it was amazing. And everybody was wowed by the fact that he did what he did as quickly as he did, everything that he promised, everything was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, what a coincidence. I mean, I'm just saying, what a coincidence that all of this happened and what we learn now. Huh?
See, you know, a lot of people say that, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't know.
All I'm saying is, seriously, Nick, what a coincidence.
Right.
Do you believe in coincidences?
Somebody tried to assassinate Trump, I wouldn't rule anything out. I don't know that I would say it was to derail the Trump administration. I just always go back to China with their population controls that they had I don't know if somebody can look this up. I believe either China still to this day, or they had a limit on how many children that you can have in your family. And we know the world is overpopulated. I really think that this was China intentionally letting this out to reduce their population and kill a bunch of people, specifically the older generation. To me was always my first thought, not necessarily this is meant to sabotage Trump in an election year. I never really arrived at that conclusion. Although, again, I wouldn't rule anything out. I mean, two assassination attempts later, you can't sit there and say definitively that it couldn't be plausible.
Was the Spanish flu of 1918 the deep state trying to out Woodrow Wilson?
It could very well have been. I'd have to go back and read up on Woodrow. It's been a while since I was in 10th grade.
Or do these things just happen every 100 years?
So you think this was an organic, natural occurrence? I don't believe.
Well, I mean, remember when it all first started, just take you back. And even at the time, they were blaming China. And then the Chinese officials came back and said, they came out and said, no, this was America. Maybe they were not lying. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of both, but we now know that that gain of function lab was NIH funded and should not have been there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get to the truth. But we all suffered. And the fact that it's just a joke to me that now we're in the courts and all the headlines just seem to forget about all of this and say, oh, well, we need freedom of information with DOGE and with what's happening. I would submit to you, we need freedom of information with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we still don't have all of this information,
yep.
But we deserve to know the truth.
And, I mean, this is coming, and why is this not a bigger story in the mainstream media? And this
Thank
is coming
you.
From Robert Redfield. So when he's the head of the CDC, and he's there saying, yeah, you should take a COVID shot, you hear about that. But when Robert Redfield from the CDC says, I believe this is now 100% something fishy, the media doesn't cover it? That's why you can't trust the media. You can't selectively pick and choose when it's headline worthy, where somebody from the CDC, which I think everybody in mainstream media says, oh, we love the CDC. They're the gold standard. We adhere to the science. And then when the angle or the slant is negative towards the original theory, it gets no run in the press.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Right.
Embarrassing.
There's a story that I just pulled up that I'll just point you to, scientificamerican.com. So it's SciAm, and it was late last year, late in December, how the U.S. lost control of bird flu, setting the stage for another pandemic. That's the headline. So it looks like a pretty good article, and they're citing. So that kind of story is interesting to talk about all of, if you're not really a conspiracy theorist, but they go through the lack of, basically, that our government has not been on top of this, and it's been years in the making.
We did the story late in the show yesterday of the high school runner who was accused of attacking another runner in the head with a baton. This kind of blew up yesterday because the parents and the girl were on Good Morning America. You had read a post, Nick, during the when we were playing it from the girl who hit the other girl in the mm-hmm. back of the head. She said it was an accident. I want to play her explanation for it, and then I'm going to play the Good Morning America report on it. This is Ayla Everett,
mm-hmm.
She says the video is just one big misunderstanding.
And she's the one with the baton.
She's the one who hit the other girl on the head, Kaylin Tucker, with the baton. So this was her explanation for it. Roll this film.
Everybody has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental rights. They're going off of one angle. A couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video.
From what I gather, and I try not to listen to the emotion, but I try to look at the facts, and that's all I really care about, is at first glance, that first angle that we watched yesterday, I was not sold 100% that it was intentional. The second angle, which was the better angle, it almost looked like she hits her multiple times,
definitely,
which led me to believe that it was intentional. And by the way, we've seen plenty of sporting events where somebody then steps out of the sportsmanship realm and physically puts their hands on somebody in an inappropriate, non-sportsmanlike way. So this has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with race.
These are two black girls.
Right. So to me, this is, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, is it more likely than not that she intended to do that? Yes, I think it was.
Yeah. I mean, look.
She pumps yeah. her arm. I mean, this is ridiculous that she comes. She's obviously worried about her future and being banned and obviously not getting scholarships and that sort of thing. I get that. But to not apologize, and that's what the real victim is saying, where's the apology?
Oh, so she never, even on the Good Morning America, she never apologized.
No. In fact, we have the Good Morning America clip. This is Kaylin Tucker. She says she suffered a concussion and a potential skull fracture. She was on with her parents on Good Morning America yesterday. Roll a little bit of this, Phil.
Junior Kaylin Tucker was running the second leg of the 4x200 relay in the Virginia State High School League Championships when the shocking incident happened.
Look.
That's when she hit me with the baton.
She almost winds
up. Watch again as you see the two sprinters running side by side as they round the corner with Kaylin on the outside, Kaylin's mother cheering her on. Just as Kaylin is passing the other runner, the athlete swings her baton, striking Kaylin.
I just felt a bang on my head, and then I fell off the track immediately.
Kaylin dropping her baton and reaching for her head.
The whole Coliseum pretty much gasped. I just jumped up out of the bleachers immediately and ran to her on the main floor.
The 16-year-old was later diagnosed with a concussion. The family says neither the athlete who struck Kaylin nor the other team's coaches checked on Kaylin or reached out afterwards.
To see that they kept running and she not stop and check on my daughter, that was the part where I was like, it couldn't have been an accident.
The other runner, who attends IC Norcom High School, has not been named. Kaylin's parents say Norcom's athletic director and the girl's father apologized in a phone call, but they're still waiting for the opposing athlete and her coaches to reach out.
We definitely want the coaches and a personal apology from the actual athlete as well, because it's only right.
Call the cops.
The Virginia High School League saying in a statement, we thoroughly review every instance like this, adding, the VHSL membership has always made it a priority to provide student athletes with a safe environment for competition.
So we reached out to the other.
So if you watch the video again, whether you watch it in slow motion or not, it does not look to me like, now again, I'm not some relay race expert.
You're not?
No. But it doesn't look like that arm going up is a normal motion that you
make. I ran this race. I ran track. Oh. This is not normal. This is felony assault. This is not racism. This is not an accident. This is felony assault. That's a crime. Boom.
How the hell can anybody claim racism when all parties involved are of the same race?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, this is a black-on-black crime.
This takes the cake as far as the race baiting. My God.
This is ridiculous. And the fact that anybody would seriously do an interview with the person who clearly assaulted the other one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I have to say allegedly. You can judge for yourself.
Well, can you,
but call the cops right now. That this warrants criminal charges.
Phil, can you back it up 5 seconds? Because
this is wrong.
The Good Morning America woman says that they reached out to the woman we played. Yeah, No, you don't have to back it up that far. Just, yeah, right there is fine.
League saying in a statement, we thoroughly review every instance like this, adding the VHSL membership has always made it a priority to provide student athletes with a safe environment for competition.
So we reached out to the other.
Oh, it stops there?
School and school district for comment, and we haven't gotten a response. But meanwhile, Kaylin's parents say that they're still waiting to see what disciplinary actions will be taken against the other athlete before deciding their next steps. In the meantime, guys, because Kaylin's been recovering for a week, they're hoping that she can finally return to school today. Because she's been out. We're closing a week at school.
The grad's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
I don't know about you, Dawn. I would say disciplinary action with the school. And then you're going to cover my medical expenses.
Oh, no. I would have called the cops by now.
Oh,
I would have called 911, felony. This is a felony crime. This is an assault. And begin with that. And then the fact that they didn't stop the race, all of the runners should be disqualified. That race should not count. Their daughter should get to rerun the situation. But they need to take action. And number one, get the police involved. And make sure that you have a crime, that you have this crime on record, because the fact that the way that they're handling this and allowing somebody who committed an assault to sit there and cry, literally cry, and then say racism and act like she's a victim, this is a real problem.
And then make the
that's horrible.
Make the suspect then have to compete in a race later this month against all biological men.
I know, right? the alleged attacker, she even in that interview, she's so infuriating. She actually said that the victim was somehow her arm was like brushing against her or something. It was victim blaming. The whole thing, it makes me nauseous. And the fact that people at the network, you owe it to say, well, let's look at the video together. Let's look at this. You're saying that's normal? Well, the way your arm is winding up, going over nobody does that.
They spent more time analyzing whether Elon Musk did a Nazi salute with his arm than this felony assault.
It's ridiculous.
By the way, since we have Elon Musk and Donald Trump coming up at 9 o'clock. We need to stay on track here. So we should take a quick break and come back on the other side because, guys.
You have more?
I have. Of course I have more. But I have a high school basketball brawl.
I'll tell you what.
Did you guys see this I think it was up near Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania. Man, between the flag football in Jersey, the track in Virginia.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. We have all of that plus a ton more. Plus 9 o'clock. Don't forget, Elon Musk and Donald Trump will be interviewed by Hawn Sanity. Hawn Sanity.
That's right. Hawn Sanity. All right, Kale and Company. As we roll on, more of the Cut Sheet next on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
You know, I can't wait for my guys from Natural Lawn of America to start this year. We've had them for years as our lawn service. And I hope you try them out. I guarantee you're going to love Natural Lawn of America as my family has for years now. It just makes sense. You're going to hire a company, of course, that provides better results. That's a natural, but also is just safer for you, for your family, for your pets. And that's why I chose Natural Lawn of America in the first case. That's been my lawn care company for years. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without all those harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. And from the organic fertilizers to the safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally, season after season. Don't take my word for it. Just join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawns. Just schedule Natural Lawns full service program today. Get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn 800-FREE-SEED. That is 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best. So call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So there are reports that the First Lady of Florida is interested in becoming governor. Is that real? I don't know.
Golf is a prerequisite. We know that. And, I could see Trump. I mean, Trump's got an ugly swing, but it's effective. It works for him. which is all that matters in the game of golf. So, yeah, he was – so he's like, here, you do the 7-iron. You want to hit this little cut fade about 130 over that water. Yeah, I'm going to go Byron Donalds. If I could vote in that race, nothing against Casey DeSantis, but I love me some Byron Donalds.
By the way, I'm going to give people a chance to get on over to YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHG. If you want to see this high school basketball brawl, we will play that in a couple minutes, youtube.com/at1210WPHG. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you are over there. Steve Witkoff was on Fox News yesterday, and apparently Zelensky sent a letter to President Trump apologizing. Roll this.
Mm-hmm. Zelensky sent a letter to the president. He apologized for that whole incident that happened in the Oval Office. I think that was an important step. And there's been a lot of discussion between our teams and the Ukrainians and the Europeans who are relevant to this discussion as well. And I would like to describe it as progress. And so I would hope.
There you go.
Okay, so he's got progress. We know Zelensky, obviously, in the last handful of, I don't know, what is it now, 10, 11 days since that whole dust-up on that Friday a week and a half ago. I stand by my prediction. I think at some point in the spring, we will see a peace deal. I don't know if that's March, April, or May, but somewhere here in the next 8 to 10 weeks, I think that thing comes to a close.
An attendee heckled J.D. Vance yesterday, Vice President Vance, during his speech at the National League of Cities Conference. He was speaking about illegal immigration, and then this happened.
You go across the world, and you see a very consistent relationship between a massive increase in immigration and a massive increase in housing prices. And we have to be honest about that. Well, I see one of our nice representatives out here wants to actually, I guess, continue to flood the country with illegal immigrants, making your communities and citizens unaffordable. But ma'am, with all respect, one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing is because we want to make it more affordable for Americans to live. That is one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing.
You have every right to protest. You can say whatever you want to, but his response was perfect.
It is. You know, there's Elon Musk, and he called himself Dark MAGA. J.D. Vance is like unflappable MAGA.
Yeah.
You can yell at him on a street corner while he's got his kid a stroller.
Yeah.
You can shout without a microphone while he's on an elevated stage with a microphone. He just handles everything with, the claim for Trump for so many years was he's not presidential. He doesn't have the decorum. He's got to act like a president. J.D. Vance, by that logic of those who hate Trump, well, you can't use that on Vance because he talks to you like he's at a church.
The angriest I've ever seen J.D. Vance was with Zelensky. And even that was, you know, like everybody. During that meeting in the Oval Office, everybody was like, J.D. Vance yelled at Zelensky. I mean, he didn't yell at Zelensky. Like, he just...
Zelensky cursed at him under his breath.
Yeah.
Remember J.D. Vance grew up, if you read his book or saw the... Or maybe you saw the hit movie Hillbilly Elegy. But, I mean, he grew up in a pretty rough situation with a chemically dependent mother.
He also ain't that guy anymore. That guy that was on the book tour that we all interviewed, he's not that guy anymore.
But my point is for somebody who grew up in a really rough environment, he can handle all of this. He didn't grow up in he was not privileged in any way or coddled in his life. And I think
the opposite.
I think in many ways his really rough upbringing as a child probably helped him to handle these rough situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me ask you a totally random question about J.D. Vance. I was reading, and Phil Omquist will love this. By the way, Phil Timers, you're about an hour away from today in music history.
Can I tell you something? If you guys start talking about Phil Timers and cutting promos at 11 o'clock during the Dawn show, I'm going to hunt you down and
all
hurt you.
All the Phil Timers out there.
Hey, Phil started.
I'm going to hunt you down and hurt you.
I'm just making him a drop on
all
the board.
All the Phil Timers out there.
So the Yankees apparently got rid of their ban on no facial hair for their baseball players. So now you can have a goatee, a beard, a mustache. George Steinbrenner for years wanted everybody clean shaved. We know that Trump is not a facial hair guy. And I've never, well, I take that slightly back, Donald Trump Jr., but you know, it's his kid, whatever. Are you surprised in this, the clean look? There's a certain image, I think, that Trump wants with men.
Agreed.
And also with women.
Yeah.
He likes them hot and blonde, as I do. So we're on the same page. Are you surprised he hasn't made Vance shave that beard?
Melania, when they were married, was a brunette.
Ah.
I will remind you.
Well, I mean, look, I'm all for diversity, equity, and inclusion of my gorgeous ladies. Brown hair, blonde hair, red hair. Yeah, I'm good with all of it. But you surprised if he hasn't made Vance shave the beard? That doesn't seem like a Trumpian look.
It's the style. It's Don Jr. has a beard.
I know.
Eric has a beard.
Does Eric have a beard?
He did.
I always thought he was clean shaven. Okay.
He had a beard.
That was just a random thought.
He's blonde.
So I wonder if Trump likes that look.
Yeah, us blondes can't grow facial hair very well. I try, but it doesn't.
No, but see, you give up on it. That's your, you quit. You tap out.
Well, I don't like the big, full beard look. I wish I was more, like, I had more Italian features, because, like, you guys can shave. Not you guys, but, like, Italian guys can shave, and then, like, 10 seconds later, there's a nice scruff that grows in, and it looks cool.
Oh, you want me, the 5 o'clock shadow?
Me, I just look like a creep.
Well, J.D. Vance, before the beard, when he was a little heavier,
yeah.
Boy, did he look like a little pudgy kid, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's the Hillbilly Elegy look I recall.
I know you played this earlier in the big tape, but for those of you listening later, they had these Doge protests outside of the steps of the Capitol, and this federal employee wearing a face mask describes it as frightening to be required to respond to an email.
Be frightening standing next to this lady.
Girl, this.
When you wake up, or when you're on your weekend and you get the fork in the road message.
Why does she have
a head? Or you.
Why does she have a face mask on?
I know. It's just enough. Hey, why do they all sound like Randy Weingarten, by the way? They all sound and look like that. It's the same look. It's the short hair. If it's not dyed blue or purple, it's gray. It's short. You got the glasses, and you're wearing the flimsy COVID mask. You're not even wearing, like, the KN95? You don't even have the high-end model.
I know.
Yeah, it's like you didn't get the Range Rover Sport, so you got the Defender instead. Just, you know, go to Piazza and get the best one, lady.
All right, keep going.
All right, let's go.
Subsequent 5 bullets. Hey, what the hell did you do, you lazy federal worker?
Look how high it up is her glasses. Half of her eyeballs are covered.
How frightening is it that someone on X, the owner of X, speaks to you directly to say, what did you do last week at work? And if you don't answer, I am going to fire you.
Ukraine pin on her shirt, too.
But even more egregious, the president comes out, the most powerful person in the land, and endorses that message.
Imagine being married to that.
How do you think that makes sense?
I don't see a ring on that finger. She's not married. Her husband hung himself. Decade ago, in the garage with the car running and the door down. He's almighty. I mean, you get the mask on, the Ukraine flag on her shirt. Yeah. You know she's had 9 boosters. She's the one that's yelling at you. How dare you fire somebody and act? But I guarantee you she was the one that probably got in somebody's face that said, I'm not getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
And started probably like slapping them on the chest saying, you want to kill your relatives? That's that lady right there.
All right, for everybody who joined us on YouTube, thank you. This is the video that we've been promoting. This happened, I guess it's outside of Hershey. Do we know that?
Is it Meadville?
Meadville, Uniontown.
Yeah.
So this high school basketball game erupted in a brawl. The Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association has ruled a state playoff basketball game that ended in an all-out brawl as a double forfeit.
Yeah, and Dawn, by the way, if you think that track thing was felonious assault, you better get the firing squad and the death penalty for this video.
Neither Uniontown nor Meadville will advance after the incident during their first round contest on Friday night. Both schools have been censured for their actions in the brawl and will be removed from this year's and next year's state tournament unless several provisions are met.
And they got Adam Schiff.
With just over 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter of a tight basketball game, the sport changed to what looked like a boxing or wrestling match. Roll the video.
Bedlam in Pennsylvania high school boys basketball. The game doesn't end. Why a brawl? We're here to break it down. A little bit of context here. So this is how this thing really starts. a traditional foul call, and a Uniontown player in the burgundy jerseys off the screen goes and dunks the ball after a foul has been issued. So referee gives him a tech, starts going at it with a fan or a parent. That's never good. But the young man fouls out. While the foul shots are being taken before the technical fouls, there's some activity going on behind the Medville bench. A fan getting into it. Looks to be cooler heads prevailing. Okay, administrative coaches getting into it. Uniontown parent.
Here comes the dad.
But I circle this Uniontown parent that comes down the aisle, walks over behind the Medville bench,
and we're off.
And just starts throwing haymakers. And this is where the trouble ensues.
Eight people.
You got police radioing in for help. Players start chasing down fans. This is Uniontown player again in the burgundy here. Chasing down a fan or a student, knocking him to the ground. Medville in the white, and Medville up with about three to go, 63-55 in this playoff game. According to reports out of Pennsylvania, no winner has been decided. Frankly, what makes this more dramatic is the two arrests quickly made as things settle down. One man to the right of the gym gets put up against the wall. And the other gentleman is who we pointed out earlier in the video, drama in Pennsylvania.
Who knew that Harry Enton did weekend sports?
Holy cow.
Unbelievable. That's going to be, there's going to be arrests, I'm assuming. There's got to be charges. I mean, that's assault.
By the way, hat tip to our sister station, KDKA, for this report that I'm reading from here. Now the PIAA is ordering both schools to do the following. Submit a plan of action to prevent a situation like this from occurring again by March 19th. All players will complete a sportsmanship module. All coaches will complete a sportsmanship and teaching and modeling behavior module. The spectators known to the school administrators are banned from all school-sponsored events until June 2026. These are parents.
Unbelievable.
Each school is reprimanded for not addressing the unsportsmanlike behavior by fans. Uniontown Area School District issued the following statement. We are disappointed that our season ended the way it did. We thank everyone that has shown their support. We look forward to continued success from our boys basketball program.
Now, I had Medville minus 8.5. Do I get my wager refunded? That's what I want to know. No, you have. I remember years ago there was a dust up in the NBA. It was the brawl at the Palace.
Yes.
It was Detroit and Indiana?
Yes. The Pacers.
I remember Jim Gray, the little sideline reporter for NBC Sports, was covering it, and he was crying in the stands because he was so afraid. I think it was Ron Artest that started that brawl.
Very good.
Scariest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was and the, I mean, this was started out player to player and then went player to fan.
Yep.
Artest hit this fan in the stands. Yep. His beer went flying.
Well, I don't have kids yet of age to play these sports, but Dawn does, obviously, it did. Mm-hmm. Do you have, the parents are kind of wild during these things, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have strict rules, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And even for high school football games, it's commonplace now to have the police. It's
unbelievable.
And I don't see that much. David does win, track right now. I don't see law enforcement as much at the track meets, but it's a shame that we have to have this. But a lot of times I will say it is the parental behavior.
It is. And it's, my dad was a coach when I was growing up. He used to call all these parents that were a pain in the ass, do good daddies. You know, everybody thinks their kid's NFL bound. My wife always asks me, she's like, well, you have it in your genes. Why don't you want to like coach? And I'm like, first of all, I'm not going to do it for free. Secondly, I don't have the time. And third, I don't want to deal with parents. Like I could not. And I think, Dawn, to your point, I think you see it more in football. To a lesser extent in basketball. I don't know that you see it as much in the less aggressive, adrenaline-pumping, testosterone-driven sports. Like, I don't recall this happening in swimming matches. It seems like it's usually football or basketball where these things happen. These parents, you have got to get control of yourself. I mean, I love high school sports as much as anybody, but, I mean, it's high school sports. It's not the end of the world. It really isn't.
But a lot of parents are... the parents who are so intense. Yes.
They're obnoxious.
It's ridiculous. But what they need to start doing, this is what they need to do, what they did. Arrests, but as well to ban the parents from the entire season and say, you are banned. Right. That's it. You are not allowed into this facility or any game.
Yes,
you're banned.
I agree. And usually, I think in most settings, at least from what I have seen going back to my high school and seeing a few football games, I go once or twice a year on a Friday night. I see one or two cops. I don't know that every school actually has a police officer at sporting events. I would assume there's some sort of security. But are we going to get, and I hate to take things out of, you know, proportion, but are we going to get to the point where we have to have multiple police officers because of a potential brawl? Because 13 parents go rogue and all of a sudden turn this into the Royal Rumble?
Should we take a Kamala break real fast?
Well, we can take any break you
like. No. This is
potty break, Kamala break, coffee break.
Kamala Harris spoke yesterday about DoorDash. And
have you no empathy, man?
Doritos.
She's not going away, is she? Which I'm all for. Let her run in California. Doesn't impact my life, but it gives me content. By the way, if she becomes the nominee for California from the Democrat side, how great would it be if whoever the Republican is just wins by default? They haven't had a Republican since Schwarzenegger, if I recall, and he was very, very moderate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like Chris Christie Republican.
All right, Kamala, roll it.
So I was willing to give up whatever might be the trackings of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos for the sake of getting a big bag of Doritos as I watched the Oscars.
Okay.
That's the consumer behavior.
And that's right, but here's the thing. At what point do we also uplift and highlight the consumer's right to also expect, and you can debate with me if it should be a right. I think it should. Yeah,
she doesn't do debates.
To expect that the innovation would also be weighted in terms of solving their everyday problems, which are beyond my craving for Doritos.
She's stoned. Do I dare ask what the description of that clip is? Like, what the setting was? What the hell she's talking about? What the topic was?
The clip.
Not that it really changes anything.
The clip I pulled says Kamala tried to explain innovation, and it's the dumbest thing I have ever heard.
Okay, the clip is the description is accurate. Yes, indeed.
I don't know where she was at. I can't really see the words behind her. Human X feeds there.
Human X feeds I.
Not sure.
We're gonna look back one day, and eventually, I think one day maybe politics could become a little boring. Right? Trump will be out of the equation. Dum dums like Kamala might not be around anymore, and we're gonna have a Republican versus a Democrat, and it's gonna kind of be a little wonky and boring. I don't know, maybe like a DeSantis versus an Andy Beshear. Not sure that sets the world on fire in media. And we're going to look back at the glory days of the 2024 election and the race and everything that it had. People, you know, ending up in courts, people dropping out of races, stunts in grocery stores with Doritos, our president at a McDonald's drive-thru. And we're going to say, you know what? That was the glory day, folks.
Do you think?
Oh, I hope she never leaves. I want her to run again. Let her run again, please. A, because she'll lose. B, because it'll be glorious to talk about. There's no Democrat. We haven't talked. I mean, we've talked about the Democrats' issues right now, but we have not talked really at all about one specific. You know who's had the most run on this show since, I don't know, if you want to look at the beginning of the new year when we came back in January or post-election after the victory laps were done? Yeah. What, Jasmine Crockett?
I hate to break up the fun of frivolity, but I see Donald Trump and Elon Musk have checked in.
Oh boy, I've got questions. Well, Hon Sanity has questions.
Hon Sanity.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a smoke break.
We'll interview Donald Trump and Elon Musk on the other side.
It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
First time ever, joint conversation, Hannity, Trump, and Musk. Not on Fox News at 9 o'clock with a bunch of dumb questions and interruptions. But the kind of stuff you would expect on Kale and Company. Back after this. Stay right there.
Got to talk about my friends from PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. because the extensive selection at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City combines luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, the coupes, roadsters, and much more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you're going to find that luxury vehicle that meets your needs. Just schedule a test drive behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz. You can always shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. Go to PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.